Parting words from a good friend are often the most memorable and the most important to hear. Just a sentence or two can define our relationship and give us hope for the future. Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll invites us to reflect on the final statement from Jesus just before he ascended into heaven. With Easter Sunday behind us, it's fitting we consider his words because they clearly define our primary purpose in life. We'll begin by reading the passage together before hearing Chuck Swindoll's message called Marching Orders from the Master.
Please turn to the last chapter of the Gospel by Matthew, reading the final several verses, and when you locate that, turn next to Acts chapter 1, three verses from that chapter. First, Matthew 28, 16 through 20, and then from Acts 1, 9 through 11. First from Matthew 28, and then Acts chapter 1. 28:16. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And then Acts chapter 1, verse 9. And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven." And that, my friends, is our blessed hope. The next event of the future will be the cry of the archangel, the sound of the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who know the Lord Jesus will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Talk about hope. That's our great hope.
Listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his newly formatted Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message titled Marching Orders from the Master.
Have you ever been to a UFO convention? Well, I haven't really been to the convention, but I've stayed at a hotel that was hosting the National UFO Weirdos, or whatever they're called, and it was something else. It seemed like the restaurant stayed full of those people. The lines to catch the taxi out front were full of those folks. The elevators, full of those folks. I think the leader of the whole world of UFOs was in the room next to mine. Because every night they spent looking out their window, the hotel window, up in the sky to see what I could never see. They had binoculars. They had guys with notepads. They had people all excited. I was asleep, sound asleep, and about 2:30 in the morning, I heard them shrieking. And I thought, well, it might be worth a look. And I looked at my window. Get this. I looked at my out my window, and I saw a long horizontal light. I thought, when I got up and walked over, I realized it was the reflection under the door that went out to the hallway. So while they were standing, gazing, and shrieking, I was standing there doubting every bit of it. Now, I know, so don't write me. I know you've seen them, and I never have, but I did think of it when I started looking again at the scene surrounding the ascension of Christ. All of the disciples were standing there, seeing him as he was leaving them, and some of them, as I, in that room next to those people, some were doubting. Remember reading that in Matthew 28? There were some who were worshiping, and then there were others who were not sure still. Get this. After over 3 years of being trained in the presence of, in the shadow of, sitting alongside, sometime sleeping next to, eating with, watching the Lord Jesus Christ in all of his wonder, and at the end of the course, some are still doubting. These are the people who were going to take the baton and are going to run the race after Jesus leaves the earth. So when you read in Acts chapter 1, verse 9, that as he was lifted up, they were looking on, and the cloud received him out of their sight. Pause right there and kick in your sanctified imagination. Put yourself in their sandals and think what you would have been thinking. He's leaving. He said he would go, and now it's happening. What do we do? Where do we go? We've always heard him, and we've watched him do what he did. We took our message from what he was teaching, and when he gave us an assignment to preach here and there, we would go out, and always in pairs, and we would take that message, and he was always there to come back to, but now... You know, in all honesty, I really believe they felt strangely orphaned. Kind of like I did when my father died. My mother had died 9 years earlier, though she was 15 years younger. To our surprise, she left this earth first. And I still had my dad. Getting up in years, he came to live with us where we were at the time. And I always had a chance when I wanted to and needed to. I could rap on his door, and I'd walk in and sit down, and we could talk. And then one day he died. I had neither mother nor father. I wasn't a child. I was not only a husband, a grown man. I was a father of four busy and growing children. But I felt strangely orphaned. All my life, I had had at least usually both parents to talk to, be with, to listen to. Now they're gone. But you know, this scene portrayed in Acts 1, far more significant than when you and I lose a parent, our last parent. This is their master. He's the reason they left their careers. He's the reason that they determined that they would learn how to become fishers of men and women. He was their sole purpose for existence. He was their lifeline And now, even though he said, I'm going to send another who will be for you everything you need and give you power you don't. All of that is theory right now. These are words. And you know what is somewhat tragic in all of this? I'm not sure they really heard what he said to them just before he left the earth. I know they heard it, but it took the presence of the Holy Spirit to drill those words into their lives so that they did indeed take the baton and run their part of the race before handing it off to the next generation who handed it off to another, and now we have taken it and we run our generation. Or do we? Are we? And what are the marching orders of a master like this? What is it he has to say to us that will equip us for the running and give us the reminders of what our goal is in life? When I was growing up, I heard a number of goals. The main one was to win souls. That isn't the main goal. As important as evangelism is, and it certainly is important, that isn't the ultimate goal. To find out what that is, I have to go to what is commonly called the Great Commission. I turn from Acts 1, where he is being taken up, and they're standing gazing, and I go back to a few minutes earlier as I go back to Matthew 28, and I read this that has been called the missionary mandate, or some have referred to it, every believer's major objective. And you won't find the word evangelism in it. Oh, it's implied in this commission, but it's not a stated part of the commission. By the way, having used the word several times, we probably need to have it defined. What is a commission? I opened my dictionary, just as you could yours, and I found that Webster writes, it is a formal warrant granting the power to perform various acts or duties. It is authorization or command to act in a prescribed manner or to perform prescribed acts. It goes on. It is authority to act for or in the place of another. It is a task entrusted to one as an agent for another, a group of persons directed to perform some duty. If you were in the military and you are being commissioned as an officer, you receive authority to carry out various acts in a leadership role as an officer. It's called getting your commission. You're commissioned, usually, if it's in the Army or Marine Corps, and as a second lieutenant. You began in the Navy as an ensign, the lowest rank among commissioned officers. And you began your journey toward further ranks in the military. Here, it is a spiritual emphasis as Jesus speaks these words. And what stands out to me is that it isn't lengthy. In our Bibles, it only covers two verses. Isn't that amazing? The mandate for our running our race is two verses of Scripture. Others apply, others can be included, but it isn't lengthy. This is brief. It isn't complicated. It's precise and it's clear. And it isn't an afterthought. Just as Jesus came knowing his mission before there ever was time, the Godhead agreed, if you will, to use human terms, on a plan of redemption, a plan of salvation. The second member of the Trinity would come to this earth, would be born, conceived in a virgin's womb, would be born in Bethlehem and would grow up in Nazareth, and ultimately in manhood at about age 30, he takes on the role of an itinerant preacher, and he walks this earth for three and a half years before he dies, paying the complete penalty for sin and his death. And then 3 days and nights later, he is raised from the dead. What's interesting, and get this, between the angel's words, "He is risen," and the angel's words, "He has been taken up," are 40 days. 40 days, according to Acts chapter 1, where he ministers and touches lives and ultimately gives them words that they would live on now that he would be leaving them. It all is based on his authority to do so. We read in verse 18, Jesus spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." That is the highest Christology to be found in all Holy Scripture. All authority. Having completed his earthly mission and having had that mission authenticated by his resurrection from the grave and victory over death and sin, the Father granted the Son full authority. Look at it for yourself. "Has been given to me in heaven and on earth." When I read these words, "All authority has been given to this one I call my master," I realize that my single response is to be absolute submission. When one is called to a certain responsibility in life as a believer, it isn't a nice option. It isn't a suggestion. It is a calling. And when you take your call seriously, it covers every part of your life. It includes where you live. It includes how you think. It certainly includes what you invest your time in. You see, the requirements of the Christian life are exacting. They go right down to the details of every part of our existence. Paul captures the same thought in Philippians 2 when he writes, "God has highly exalted him and lifted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, whether in heaven or on earth, that Jesus is" what? "Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Same thing. Here's a way to look at this. If we were standing in the Mall of Majesty, we're standing in a mall named Majesty, and we step in front of a map that shows us our way around, just as you and I have done in every mall we've been in, trying to find a shop where we want to purchase something we came for. We stand in front of the map. Every one of those maps has the same arrow. Remember? What does it say? "You are here." All four of you have been to malls, so you know exactly what it says. You are afraid of giving the wrong thing. No, you are here. Big red arrow. I'm always relieved to know where I am. But if I am in the Mall of Majesty, and if there is an arrow in this imaginary mall that says you are here, every one of us is on our faces in worship. We're on our knees in complete submission. And we are saying with that posture, "Because you are in full authority, Whatever you wish, I submit to. Wherever you lead, I follow. I don't argue. I don't discuss it. Thinking I might find a way around it, I follow. However you desire, I adapt my life to that. Whenever you're pleased, I'm available. I obey. That's why I bow. That's when I acknowledge his full authority. Before you get to the commission, you understand the authority of the one speaking it. So, men and women, when you come to a passage that is prepared with words like this, you want to really pay close attention. These are words that come from one who has full authority in all of heaven and across all of earth. And these are words that we must understand and apply.
Chuck Swindoll is setting the stage and giving us a framework to receive Jesus' clear commission to believers. He titled today's message, Marching Orders from the Master. And there's much more teaching ahead. To request a copy of this message, you can go online to insightworld.org/store. This time-sensitive message will continue through Wednesday of this week, and then Thursday on Insight for Living, we'll resume Chuck's popular and classic series called Biblical Parenting. In conjunction with this study on the family, let me draw your attention to a fun opportunity to engage further with this topic. We're providing an online quiz called Family Tree Fun. So take a minute to test your knowledge of families in the Bible at insight.org/quiz. When we hear from listeners on the phone or by email or in letters addressed to Chuck, there's a common theme that repeats itself over and over. People often tell us that Insight for Living has become their trusted daily source of hope. No matter where life takes us, no matter what kind of disappointment or suffering we endure, we know that Christ alone is our refuge and our source of hope. Well, in this spirit, we've put together a collection of 3 CDs celebrating our hope in Christ. The first 2 CDs contain messages from Chuck, including the one you heard today. And the third features an inspirational concert by the Stonebriar Community Church Sanctuary Choir and Orchestra. In fact, the song you're hearing right now comes from this inspirational worship CD. It's a favorite called In Christ Alone. When you give a donation to support the ministry of Insight for Living, we're pleased to send you all 3 CDs called A Living Hope. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or online go to insight.org. Again, if you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or just go online to insight.org.
There is no better gift for children and grandchildren than memories, and there's no adventure quite like America's last frontier, Alaska.
Vacation to Alaska with Chuck and Cynthia Swindoll, July 1st through the 8th, 2017. Call 888-447-0444.
You know, cruising might be the perfect family vacation. It's relaxing, it's adventurous, and when you add it all up, it's really economical because your boarding, your dining, and your entertainment expenses are all included.
With music from renowned soloist Steve Green, comedian Dave Pendleton, and a 4th of July concert from Ernie Haas and Signature Sound.
Together we'll explore exciting ports of call. We'll take scenic excursions and we'll engage in worship in a place that points vividly and spectacularly toward our Creator.
Join Chuck Swindoll for an Alaskan cruise vacation, July 1st through the 8th, 2017. To register, call 888-447-0444 or visit insight.org/events.
The Insight for Living tour to Alaska is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend.
Tomorrow, Chuck Swindoll continues his message called Marching Orders from the Master, here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Marching Orders from the Master, was copyrighted in 2016, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.